This is Ozarks at Large. The Civil War battles of Pea Ridge and Prairie Grove were fought in this part of the state in the first half of the conflict. Later, during the war, many battles and skirmishes took place further south, and many of those battles included violent guerrilla-type action. David E. Casto has compiled information about the war in central and southern Arkansas in 1864 and 1865. His book, Arkansas Late in the Civil War, has just been published by the History Press. Recently, Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums talked to David Casto about the book and the ancestor of David's in the Union Army that inspired him to start his research.
I knew when I was 7 or 8 years old that there was another David Casto, and he had been a Union cavalryman in Company G, 8th Missouri Cavalry, you know, and my grandpa, he told me just a few little bits and pieces of stories about him, you know, in the war, and it fired my imagination, you know, and they planted the seeds of something in me that never left, obviously, you know.
And it's interesting, the 8th Missouri that he was in, those were young men who were used to sort of the Ozark Plateau, and they end up late in the Civil War in a place that's not at all like what they were used to.
Yeah, they spent most of the war in eastern and central Arkansas, you know, in the White River Valley and the Arkansas River Valley. They did venture up into the Ozark foothills a little bit, but for the most part, they were in the book takes place. You could draw a line from Little Rock to Duval's Bluff, then up to Augusta, and over to Searcy, then back down to Little Rock. There's kind of a triangle area there. That was like the cockpit of their war, and it was, yeah, you're right, it was very different from the Ozark Plateau, Springfield, Missouri area, southwestern Missouri.
And it took that initially took its toll on some of the soldiers.
Oh, it took its toll throughout the war. It did. They lost men continually to disease and sickness. I mean, they didn't all die, but once men had gotten sick, they were introduced to the hospital. It's like once they were introduced to that hospital, they never quite got well. Men would be discharged. And then two or three months later, they would be back in the hospital for a while. Then they would be discharged from the hospital. Then in a couple of months, back in the hospital again. And then stuff like that, you know, affected men for the rest of their lives. They never, you know, I've seen examples of soldiers, they never got over the sicknesses they picked up in Arkansas.
We're in this part of Arkansas, of course, in the northwest corner. We're very familiar with Pea Ridge and Prairie Grove. That was earlier than what takes place and north and west of what takes place in Arkansas late in the Civil War. What was that triangle that you described? What was it like in 1864, 1865?
Well, when the Union Army took Little Rock, they held the line of the Arkansas River from Pine Bluff, Little Rock, and smaller river towns, and then Fort Smith. And they were pretty much content with just holding that line. And when the Confederates retreated from Little Rock, there were groups of Confederates that didn't retreat. They stayed north of the Arkansas River. And they were fairly disorganized in late 1863 and early 1864. But the Confederates began to try to reinforce and organize these bands that were operating up in northeast Arkansas better. And that's pretty much how the war was, pretty much just a guerrilla conflict. These stay-behind rebels would come out of the woods and swamps, and they would shoot at the railroad, they'd shoot at trains, they'd shoot at the picket outposts and then try to get out before they were caught. I said in the book, it resembled the Vietnam War more than it did the Civil War as it was fought back east. But then in the spring of 1864, the war began to heat up in central Arkansas for the simple fact that Joe Shelby's Confederate Iron Brigade crossed the Arkansas River at Dardanelle, and he rode around the Union Army into Batesville, and he set up shop in Batesville for the express purpose of making the Union life miserable in central Arkansas. He was to attack the supply line along the White River, which was very important. There was a stretch of railroad between the Boss Bluff and Little Rock that was a lifeline to the Union Army. And his sole purpose was to keep them on their toes and keep attacking the supply lines, keep their attention drawn to him so Sterling Price could eventually start north with his army and invade Missouri. So in the spring and summer and late summer of 1864, they were chasing Joe Shelby around central Arkansas quite a bit.
He's a fascinating character. You write that he had led pro-slavery raids into Kansas?
Well, you know, the Civil War began along the Missouri-Kansas border in the 1850s, before Fort Sumter was fired on in 1861. There was a lot of cross-border raids. You know, the Kansas Free Staters would raid into Missouri and steal slaves and create mayhem. The pro-slavery forces in Missouri would raid into Missouri and try to inflict harm on them. It was a very lawless situation along the Missouri-Kansas border in the 1850s, and Shelby took part in that.
And he had no formal military training, is that correct?
Yes.
But he became formidable.
Oh yeah, he was one of the, you know, if he's one of those guys that if he had been on the east side of the Mississippi River, he would have ended up with a major command. As it was, I think he was a colonel for a large part of the war. I think maybe it was 18. I'm not an expert on Shelby himself, but I think in 1864 he got his brigadier general star. But he was a very innovative, successful general.
A general who is mentioned in the book Arkansas Late in the Civil War, a man who eventually becomes general, is Eugene Asa Carr, and that's where he was connected to your great-grandfather.
Yeah. You know, I mentioned in the book that even as a kid, I knew my great-grandpa served under General Carr. And, I kind of knew about him. Over the years, I picked up a biography of Carr that was written in 1963, probably for the Civil War centennial. And it just actually just barely touches on his time as in Arkansas. Of course, the Battle of Pea Ridge was mentioned quite prominently. He would be awarded a Medal of Honor for his actions at Pea Ridge. But the events of 1864 and 1865 are barely mentioned in his biography. And I found Carr to be an interesting character, equally interesting, like Joe Shelby was.
You know, reading this book, you just get the sense that it would be so hard to know exactly what was happening in this situation. We should point out, too, that the 8th Missouri, as they're patrolling this territory, their numbers have been diminished by order of General Grant.
What happened was in the spring of 1864, Grant ordered Frederick Steele, the commander of the Union Army in Little Rock, to undertake what would become the Camden Expedition. He was supposed to, there was a big expedition coming up the Red River in Louisiana, and Grant wanted Steele to reinforce it from Arkansas. And Frederick Steele didn't want to do this because he knew he couldn't haul enough supplies to get his men and animals through South Arkansas into North Missouri. The area had already been picked over by the Confederate Army. There just wasn't any forage or food there. And he didn't want to do this, but he was ordered to. So he took about half the troops in the state with him on this Camden expedition. And actually, in May of 1864, he had got down in Camden, and he realized he couldn't go any further. And he turned around and he headed back to Little Rock. His army was just out of food, and they were being nipped at constantly by the Confederate cavalry. And the Confederates had beaten the Union Army in Louisiana, and they had turned three infantry divisions around and were heading to Steele at Camden. He said, he knew he couldn't stay and fight this many troops, so he headed back to Little Rock, and they fought the battle. That's where the Battle of Jenkins Ferry was fought on that campaign. So Steele took a lot of troops with him, but he returned in May of 1864.
It's still hard for me to wrap my imagination around the fact that there would be battles on the White River with gunboats.
Oh yeah, there was the White River was a very important supply line. It was more important than the Arkansas River. because the Arkansas River at that time was so broad and shallow, it was very difficult to get boats up the Arkansas. It was hard to get them up to Little Rock, and getting them beyond Little Rock, you know, the farther you went, the harder it got. And then there was only, you know, maybe just 3 months out of the year they might get a boat all the way up to Fort Smith. And the White River is, I guess, kind of a narrower, deeper river, and at least up till, you know, somewhere like up to Augusta anyway, maybe up to Batesville. So boats would go up the White River, and they'd deposit their goods at Duval's Bluff. Of course, the railroad, they would load then the goods on the railroad and ship them down the railroad to Little Rock, and then they would be freighted to the outlying posts. So, that was a constant activity, this movement of supplies and then guarding these wagon trains and the Confederates trying to ambush them and fight them and so forth. It was just a constant thing that went on. That's one thing I've heard from people that, you know, people that have read it have told me that they didn't realize the level of the conflict in Central Arkansas.
Well, and gunboats. I mean, and these were modern tin-clad battleships, more or less.
Yeah. They would take these light draft riverboats and then put steel plating around the bottom decks and put guns on them and make them into gunboats. And yeah, there was a lot of gunboat activity in Arkansas too, up the White and the Arkansas River. I mentioned this in the book. I mean, it was the first modern war in many respects. You had the use of the telegraph, and everything that was modern about it you found in Arkansas. The use of the telegraph, the use of railroad to move men and supplies, the use of the iron gunboats, the iron ships, and the use of repeating arms. You know, all of this was found in Arkansas.
You have pictures, there are photographs in the book of, I think, the Tyler, which was a gunboat, and also the Queen City.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised at how many clear, crystal clear images there are, especially of the officers.
Yeah, well, you know, that was a big thing. There's no shortage of photographs, especially from the Union Army, because they had Duval's Bluff and Little Rock, you know, the big towns, and they all many of them got their pictures taken. And I went to different sources, of course, the Arkansas History Commission and the UALR Center for Arkansas Studies. They provided me with a lot of photographs. And the Wilson's Creek Battlefield National Park had a lot of the actual photographs of the 8th Missouri men and officers that I have in the book.
Was there anything you wanted to be able to find, or any information that you just couldn't, that's been lost to history?
Oh, well, yeah. I guess I don't know what's...
Right.
I don't know what I didn't find, but... I was never satisfied with the amount of information. I constantly dug and looked for more. And I'm convinced I found just about everything I could. You know, I mean, that's out there, you know.
When you were a youngster and you were hearing some of the stories or some of the things from your grandfather,
mm-hmm.
And let's see, your grandfather would have been the son of David Cass?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're So you're hearing those stories. And at that time, I think you write that your grandparents lived south of Atkins?
Mm-hmm.
So this Arkansas, you know, was a Confederate state. And I just wonder, what was the sort of sense of that history or pride or whatever in what your father had done?
You know, I gathered that my grandpa was pretty proud of his dad. I know my dad was proud of his grandpa being a Union soldier, and it wasn't. I can tell you, when I was a little kid and I heard he was a Union soldier, I kind of thought, well, that's not right. But, you know, because Arkansas is a southern state, I don't think I quite understood it at the time. But, you know, that's something obviously I got over. But, you know, as far as Arkansas being a southern state, it wasn't that cut and dried, you know, in the South. There were pockets of Unionism all over the South. And just like there were pockets of Confederate sympathy in some of the northern border states, you know, Indiana and Illinois had pockets of Confederate sympathizers.
The name of the book is Arkansas Late in the Civil War. David E. Casto, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, thank you.
David E. Casto's new book is Arkansas Late in the Civil War. He talked to Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums from his home in Maumelle.